How's it going, everybody? Brent Alvarez and Dave Meltzer here, Wrestling Observer Radio, August 10, 2026, figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We got a lot of news to get into here today. And yesterday, we were talking about this whole Avery Styles thing, and I guess we have an update today.
Well, it's just, I guess there's two things that you talk about. Number one is, so apparently the reason Eric Cannon first brought the subject up was because Natty Neidhart said that Avery Styles would do, you know, it was like, would do, like, whatever, you know, like, wanted to pay his dues and all that. And so that's why he said, because he thought he didn't. And Brett Lauderdale was kind of caught in the middle, having to be, you know, and trying to basically say, well, everybody was right and everybody was wrong. And what Eric Cannon said represents what Eric Cannon believes, but it's not the GCW statement. And, you know, I think kind of feeling that everyone's learned something, and I think just trying to get it over with. I'm sure he wants to book the guy more, but he doesn't want it to be where the guy shows up at his shows and everybody boos him, you know what I mean? So I think that's probably what he's where he's probably coming from. You know, I mean, he praised him, saying that, you know, the guy, for only having a few matches, was really, really good. And I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, I still think it's like a nothing thing that got blown ridiculously out of proportion, because AJ got involved and, you know, he defended his son. And, you know, then everybody would jump on him. His son, you know, It's kind of a sad thing, because it's kind of like people are just going to go, oh, his son's so spoiled and he's getting it handed to him. And I mean, there is something to the fact that, like, if it was somebody else who'd worked however many matches he's worked, and it's only like a few, they wouldn't be in GCW. I mean, even if they were talented as hell, they wouldn't be in GCW this early, except it's AJ Styles' son, and that works, you know. I mean, That's just a reality of pro wrestling. If you have a name, especially when you're on, like, the, you know, GCW, you're looking to grab the new guy, the new hot thing. I mean, they had, you know, Brody's, you know, we saw Brody wrestle in a main event on a big show in a half hour match in his first professional match. If he was not Brody Lee's son, or you know, none of that happens. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, so much of that's a reality. If who your father is, if Stephanie McMahon wasn't the daughter of Vince McMahon, she'd never been in the wrestling business, as talented as she ended up being, right? You know, I mean, it wouldn't happen. And if Vince McMahon wasn't the son of Vince McMahon, he'd never be in the wrestling business. So it's like, it's just one of those realities of the, you know, and not just the wrestling business. It'd be the same thing in the boxing business or something. You know, if you're the son of somebody famous, you're going to get opportunities that a guy without that name is not going to get. If you're famous from something else, you know, CM Punk, Brock Lesnar in UFC, you know, it's just a reality. So, you know, he is fortunate that his father was a fantastic pro wrestler, and apparently he's really good as well, all things considered. Everybody was, you know, I mean, everybody was praising him a week ago, but, you know, well, I guess we'll see. I mean, the fan base is the fan base, and, you know, if they turn him heel, then maybe he just has to go heel. I don't know.
Well, speaking of Vince McMahon, he is going to have to pay as part of this shareholder lawsuit settlement. A lot of money, presumably, although I guess they're still hashing this out.
Well, it's $42.5 million is what Vince has to pay. So the final settlement was $147.5 million, you know, in the shareholders lawsuit. So, I mean, it's a lot of money. At the same time, it's not like you can't afford it. You know, I mean, the guy's worth, you know, multiple billions. I think $2 billion, probably, maybe more. You know, so, I mean, it's a lot of money, you know, but, you know, I mean, I can make a joke and go, it's like six affairs, you know, but there you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, you just
which by the way, that actually is what led to all of this to begin with.
That is what happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's legitimately where everything, you know, everything in wrestling, you know, like the all the CM Punk stuff happened because
he wouldn't pay $3 million, and this all happened. Now he has to pay $45 million, but he came out of it with $2 billion.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I mean, like the fact is that the stock rose to a, you know, a greater degree than it probably would have with any other sale in the long run. So he ended up, yeah, I mean, he ended up making way more than $42.5 million. So he's financially, I mean, this didn't hurt him at all. But, and you know, I mean, he's already out of the company. It's not like it cost him the company. You know, the affair, yes, that did cost him the company. But he got richer, even though he lost the company. If he had to choose, I'm sure he's taken saving the company for himself. So he didn't get what he wanted, but he made a lot of money anyway.
All right, you just got done watching the CMLL Grand Prix, 75 minutes.
That was a long-ass match, boy. That's probably the long, aside from the one they did last year that was 90 minutes, it's probably the longest wrestling match I've seen in years. It was pretty, I mean, so, It's a long match. The crowd was super hot early. You know, they do all the pageantry and everything like that. And then for a while, I mean, I would say that the body of the match was not as good as last year. I don't think the overall talent, there's a lot of talent in the match this year. Don't get me wrong. I think last year had a better group of talent to do this type of a match. I mean, there were guys like there was nobody, last year, you know, Dorada was really, really good this year, you know, but I think he was better last year. You know, Atlantis Jr. you had, who had a really good, I think he was really good, but I just remember like Mike Bailey was just absolute killer last year and he wasn't in it this year. And, you know, but having said all that, as far as storytelling this year was better, and as far as the last 10-15 minutes this year was better, you know, the story, it came down to Mystico and Hechicero on the CMLL team against Claudio and Pac on the world team. And then, you know, they double teamed and pinned Mystico. So he's out. So it's Hechicero against two of them. And they went, what was it? It was a long time with two on one. And then he finally used that head scissors drop to pin Pac. But the crowd's going crazy because now it's like one guy and he's surviving everything. And I mean, just putting on a fantastic performance. I mean, Hechicero was just great. And then, you know, he pins Pac, and then Pac attacks him afterwards, and, you know, Claudio does the giant swing, and Pac drop kicks him, and, you know, he's surviving everything that Claudio's throwing at him, and then he finally hits that head scissors drop on Claudio, and Claudio kicks out, and then he gets Claudio in some wacky submission, you know, and Claudio submits. Place went crazy, you know, so... As far as, I mean, the crowd was really, really hot the last, I would say, 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. So, I mean, overall, I guess you'd have to call it a fantastic match. But, man, it was long. And it wasn't like everybody was good. I guess Hechicero in his own way put on, like, an incredible performance. And realistically, when he was down and when they were, like, out there, it was... Mystico, and you know, before he got eliminated, he actually was pretty damn spectacular too. Claudio, I guess, just being in that match for so long and everything, you know, he was really good. Had a lot of heat. He's got a lot of credibility with those people because he was the world champion there and came in over and over again. So it was, I mean, a super memorable match without a doubt. I mean, awesome match, sure.
What do we got this Friday?
I got the card here. So it's Mystico and Averno are doing a singles match, no stipulation. And that is, hold on, let me get that. So it's, that's the main event. And then Star Jr. and Zondacon Jr. Are doing a singles match. And Dragon Rojo Jr. and Barbero Carbonario are doing a singles match. So it's three singles matches, no stipulations in any of them. All of them are being, you know, all of these singles matches are teases, you know, for whatever they're going to do at the anniversary show, which all three of these feuds are going to be involved in. But I don't, I really think they're going to be doing a four-way tag, you know, like a tag team thing where, like, Mystico teams with Averno, Stars team, Jr. teams with Zondacon Jr., Dragon Rojo Jr. teams with Barbero Carbonario, and Ultimo Guerrero teams with Templario. And then, like, the winner of this four-way, or however they do it, you know, that those two will do the big stipulation, you know, whether it's the mask or the hair or whatever, in the main event, which obviously the people would want Mystico and Averno. Now there was a big angle in the Grand Prix, somewhere in the middle there. Bandido unmasked Soberano Jr. and Soberano Jr. unmasked Bandido, and they went at it, and it was like they were both disqualified. They were the only two that weren't beaten clean. They were both disqualified, and you know, they were fighting all over the place, up and down, you know, in the aisle, pull apart. You know, all this kind of stuff, super heat that you really don't get at Arena Mexico. So I don't know what they're gonna do, because I can't imagine there's a chance they're gonna do a mask versus mask match, and it is anniversary season, and that is what you would think if they were to do. I mean, realistically, if they were gonna do a mask versus mask match with this card, you know, and they're not gonna leave Arena Mexico. I mean, I actually talked to Salvador about that, and it's just like, they're not going to leave Arena Mexico, no matter how big the show is. I mean, like, we talked about the 100th anniversary show, you know, which would be in 7 years. And, you know, it's like, that's the one where, in theory, right, you go to Azteca Stadium, Estadio Azteca, or whatever it's called now. And, you know, whatever, that place holds probably 80, 90,000. I'm not saying you could do 80 or 90,000, but for the 100th anniversary of CMLL, you know, you could do... You could do 50,000, I'm sure, maybe more. But he said that what they'll probably do is multiple shows, like maybe a week worth of shows or something like that, or maybe, you know, three straight Fridays will all be the 100th anniversary show or something. But they're not, you know, and they'll jack up ticket prices probably, but they're not leaving Arena Mexico for that. They're not leaving Arena Mexico for anything, including a Bandido and Soberano. If you have that on the same show as a Mystico Averno, man, that'd be awfully big. So but that was the big angle, and it got a lot of heat. I don't think it had more heat than the Mystico Averno angle that I was at, but it wasn't far off. So there you go. So those are that's the big stuff. And I think, let me just see, there's Zelwa, Neon, and Brillante Jr. against Yutani, Guerrero, Maya Jr. and Cobarde, and Tessa Blanchard and Johnny Robbie against Persephone and Reina Isis, and there's Max Starr and Futuro, who are really good, against the Calavera brothers. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 deep, 7-match show, which means that they'll have to rush, because they're usually... Those shows are best at 5, I think. 5 good long matches, and you get the thing over in, 2.5 hours? I think that's the best thing. 7, you're starting to have to do rushing matches and everything, especially with 3 major singles matches that are all like main event style matches. So, anyway, that's Friday. I imagine with that lineup with Mystico and Averno, Mystico, they've kept them apart since Mystico came back on last Sunday. They have not touched since the stretcher job. So I would presume that this Friday will continue the sellout streak. I would think so.
What do we got for the G1?
Well, I mean, tomorrow morning, it's B Block with Gabe Kidd and Yu Yui Murrah, which sounds, I mean, it's a unique style match. I think it probably will be outstanding. Drilla Maloney against Ren Narita, which should be good. Hanari against Zack Sabre, which is another unique style match. And Callum Newman and Aaron Wolf, which is also unique style. So those are, like, none of those matches on paper are like these perfect, awesome matches, but all of them are very interesting. And this is the next to the last night of B Block, so when this thing's over, we should have we'll probably still be down to like 5-6 people who are eligible going into the final night, like they usually do. And also, the Saturday show is sold out. I don't know about the Sunday show, but Saturday show sold out with the Hiroyoshi Tenzan 5-minute retirement match with Satoshi Kojima, which, I tell you what, I mean,
a 5-minute retirement match. I mean, yeah, I've seen him.
You've seen him, but you saw him years ago.
Yes.
I mean, it's like it's going to be worse now. You know, it's not like he got better, I don't think. He hasn't had a match all year. He hasn't had a match since April of last year. And he had maybe, I don't know, 6-7 matches last year, all tags. He has not done a singles match in, I don't know, probably 7 years, 6-7 years. It's been a long time. So, I mean, a 5-minute singles match is asking a lot. I mean, the guy, you know, he's got so many injury issues. I mean, he landed on his head on a moonsault, and the nerves and everything deteriorated. I mean, I remember, this is like 12, 15 years ago, when he was still doing G1. It was like probably the last, whatever it was, when he stopped doing G1. I remember he was in a G1 tournament, and one of the guys had just mentioned to me, you know, I mean, his upper body still was kind of, it was still kind of big and everything. Not like, I mean, it just really shriveled down as he got older and everything, and the nerve damage got worse. But I remember even then, like, he couldn't do 30-pound dumbbells for presses, and he's a big guy, you know, 240 pounds, or then probably 250 pounds, 240 pounds. So, he's had a lot of injuries, and I mean, physically, the upper body is really small, but I mean, the one is the way he walks on those ankles. It's like, if you look at him, Brian, I'm sure you remember this, watching him years ago when he was in the ring. It's almost like, how does he even walk?
I don't want this to come off like a joke, but I mean, we've all heard about Kerry Von Erich's foot. I mean, it looks like he's missing 2 feet. And
he's not, though.
But he's not. But yeah, it actually looks like he is. I mean, yeah, because I've never seen anybody with feet like that able to walk.
Yeah, yeah. The way he walks and everything, because the ankles are like I don't even know how to describe it. They're like the opposite of fused, right? You know, like Brian Pillman had fused ankles, and some guys have tried to work on fused ankles, and it's bad. It's really, really bad. This guy has the opposite of it. I don't know what you would call it. It's like he has no, it's like his feet bend like he's walking on his ankles, but the feet are still there.
He's like walking on the outside of his ankles all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Yeah, and he can move, but it's like, he can't move very fast. That's for sure.
No.
So, but he's going to try to do a 5-minute singles match is, to me, asking a lot. So, you know, hopefully they'll be able to get through it. But, I mean, it's obviously, it's not about the match. It's about the ceremony after the match and everything. And, 35-year career. And, before he had all the injuries and everything, he was one of the best there was. You know, four-time IWGP champion, 12-time tag team champion, Chono and Tenzan, Kojima and Tenzan. I mean, two of the most legendary tag teams in the history of Japan. You know, multiple time G1 winner. I mean, he was top guy. I mean, he was at one point the top guy in the company. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't at like the peak of the company. You know, but I mean, it wasn't like it was in a weaker period, I suppose. You know, I mean, it's not like he's going to be remembered like an Inoki or anything. Well, no one is, you know, but or even a Fujinami or a Tanahashi or someone at that level, you know, that was Okada. But I mean, he was a top guy for a long, long time, you know, on TV and many, many, many memorable matches.
All right, we got Raw to talk about here, and I don't know. It's kind of just a show.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing with Raw tonight is...
they got a lot of time between the next
show. Yeah, but I mean, the thing with Raw is that you know, the way that they have put the talent and everything, it's like, you know, usually Raw is like sort of the A show and SmackDown sort of the B show, but they try to keep them kind of even. And right now, SmackDown has so much more what I would call main event talent. And on Raw, I mean, of guys that you like SmackDown's got Cody Rhodes, who's total top guy, right? Randy Orton, total top guy. CM Punk, total top guy. Kevin Owens, pretty damn close to that level. You know, I mean, and Raw, like, legitimately, and they got Gunther also, pretty much top guy. Raw has Roman Reigns, and this week Roman Reigns wasn't on the show, so they had this show built around Jey Uso, who I mean was really big until he wasn't.
Dude, this Jey Uso solo thing.
And Solo, who, you know, they're really trying with him. They're trying to make him into something. And now he's back, apparently back in the bloodline, which is the last thing.
Well, he's being brought to Roman Reigns. They did not flat out say that he had to join the bloodline. The stipulation was he would be brought to Roman Reigns. So I'm sure they'll do something. I'm sure LA Knight will get involved. But I mean, the big issue is Solo was supposed to be a babyface, and they're trying. Jey Uso is supposed to be a heel. They come out for the main event, and Jey Uso does a total babyface entrance. Solo does a total heel entrance.
Jay's coming through the crowd doing the yeet.
Yes.
That's like, you know.
He's doing a total babyface entrance. Solo does a total heel entrance. And then they get in the ring for the match, and the crowd's like, the fuck are we supposed to do here? So they are dead for this match.
They were pretty dead.
They were so dead for this match. They sort of got up a little bit at the end, barely.
They picked up at the end, but yeah, it was. But you know what else? One of the reasons it was dead was it wasn't that good of a match.
No, it was not a good match at all.
Yeah,
and
I mean, it's just kind of there. And the other part is that with those two guys in there, like I think the crowd's sitting there waiting for the interference because they just know, you know, that they're gonna have a flim flam finish, right? And they're gonna. So it's kind of like you sit there watching.
Although it wasn't much of one.
Well, Jimmy came out. That was the finish.
That was it.
Yeah.
Well, the show opened up with them announcing that Royce Keyes has a bruised larynx and a cervical sprain and is out indefinitely.
So that doesn't help. But
what we really need is to take more people off this show.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I mean, it's like this is like, you know, work to get, I guess, to get Royce Keyes and Solo. You know, and Solo, it's like, Jacob Fatu. Jacob Fatu has, like, nothing to do. You know what I mean? Like, he's...
No, he was getting super over, and so they turned him heel, which nobody wants to see.
No, everybody cheers him. No, and they always cheer him. Yeah. So, yeah, and I mean, I don't see, like, LA Knight does get a reaction, and he's obviously going to be positioned for Roman. That's very clear, but not until after September 15th, because they made it very clear when LA Knight is talking to Pierce about getting a championship match, and he wants to join that Lucha tournament, which they've already announced the brackets of, so why he would want to join, and he even comes out with a mask, and Pierce is just like...
Well, I think the story is that he knows he can't be in the tournament, but he keeps bringing up the point that no matter what I do, I cannot get a shot at this guy, and I will do anything to get a shot at this guy.
Yeah, and Adam Pearce said the tournament's only for luchadors. So after the tournament is over, which means September 15th, we put you in a position to earn a championship match. So we got a holding pattern now through September 15th for LA Knight and Roman Reigns. So that means that they are probably doing October 10th.
Well, Solo came through the crowd to open up this show. He's mocking the Usos. And they kind of get into him as a babyface. They got into him more as this went on. But Jay comes out, and they just start arguing back and forth. And they set up the main event, and they set up this storyline where basically they're having a one-on-one match. And if Jay wins, he gets to bring Solo to Roman Reigns. But if Solo won, the bloodline could never bother him again, they claimed. So you knew right there that wasn't going to happen.
Okay, but the thing is, this story makes zero sense because Solo was a SmackDown guy who kept coming to Raw to basically mess with Roman Reigns. Not so much the Usos, but Roman Reigns, right? That's the only reason he's coming. So they're doing a stip to where he wins, to where Roman doesn't mess with him, and it's like, well, but he's got nothing else going on anyway, and that's the only reason he's here is to mess with Roman Reigns to begin with. So this is like absolutely, like if you're following this story, this makes zero sense. It's like if he doesn't want to mess with Roman Reigns, he could stay on the show and there'd be no messing.
So then Jacob presented Jay backstage, and he says, what the hell are you doing here? You're supposed to be running plays for Roman, but you're going to business for yourself here. And they warn him that he'd better win tonight, which he did, so don't worry about
that.
Yeah,
he did.
Penta and Laredo Kid first-round match. This was a good Raw match. It took probably half the match to get the crowd into it. They were not super into it early.
They don't know Laredo Kid, and if they do know him, he's never had credibility. I mean, he's coming off that what was it? The match with Trick, where it was he got some offense in, but he wasn't taken seriously. So nobody thought he had a chance to win. Put it that way. They had a good match though.
They did have a good match there by at the end, and ended up with Penta hitting the Destroyer after Laredo missed a twisting moonsault, got the pin. And the winner of this match will face either Psycho Clown or La Parca in the next round. I would kill to see Roman Reigns versus Psycho Clown, but I don't think we're going to get that match.
That's not happening. There's no way.
Damn it. Or Pagano.
That's not happening either.
Byron interviewed
Roman Reigns and Pagano would be an absolute mess.
Yeah, I know. That's why I want to see it.
It would be an absolute
I would
mess.
Love to see that main event of Raw show.
Yeah.
Byron interviewed The Vision about the Alpha Academy. This whole time, Braun is standing there and he's stewing in the background. And everybody leaves and Byron is standing there and Braun says, I got to ask you a question, Byron. What do you think of Obafemi? And Byron goes, I like the guy. And Braun goes, is he the future? And Byron says, well, that's what Brock Lesnar said. And Braun says, you sound like Paul, and he storms off. So we had Theory and Tozawa. As God is my witness, this was like an extended squash match. It went through a commercial break. Theory like beat him and beat him and beat him. They went to a commercial. He beat him through the commercial. He beat them coming back from commercial. And then Tozawa got like, I think, four spots. And then Theory hits him with a forearm and pins him with a forearm.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, this went way too long for that finish. And then Maxine tells him to kill the guy with a chair afterwards. All the geeks run down and make the save. Braun hits the ring to kill Tozawa with a spear. But Oba's music hits. And thankfully, it's pro wrestling, which means if you hit someone's music, everybody else just pauses. So yeah, Tozawa was able to escape.
Right. Breaker couldn't spear him because the music played.
Took his sweet time strutting down to the ring. And then once he got in the ring, they went face to face. Everybody got in the ring to separate them, let them fight chance. Oba was deadly serious, but Braun was actually smiling. And so, hey, they're building this up.
They're going to do a match. It was well done. I thought that was well done.
If they're doing this on Saturday night's main event, that's still a month away. If they're doing it on the Money in the Bank, we're talking 10 weeks of looking at each other.
They could do it on Saturday's main event, but I feel it's probably going to be a pay-per-view match.
That's a long time to hold this off.
Yeah, well, I...
Although, hey, CM Punk and Kevin Owens is next week, so maybe they'll do it on TV.
Yeah, I don't think so. The one thing is that there's, you know, they could always do it on a Saturday Night Main Event and just do like a double DQ. Because I mean, Oba shouldn't lose right now under any circumstances. But, I mean, I guess that if they do a double DQ, they got to do a rematch and Oba has to beat him at some point. But they got to do a finish, obviously, that protects Braun, too.
We had Ray doing a promo backstage. He said Penta and Laredo Kid had a banger. Raw was going to go to Mexico. Roman would have his hands full. Dragon Lee shows up, thanks him for the opportunity. And Dom comes up. He goes, why am I not in this tournament? And Ray said, I didn't think you needed another handout. So Dragon Lee and Dom get into this big argument. And Dragon says, I'm going to go to Adam Pearce, get this match set up for tonight. So he's wrestling with his torn ligament.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a great idea, but he is.
His fingers were all taped up, yeah.
Stephanie Vaquer returned, came out to cut a promo. And she basically said, I'm going to go through all of the women in the Judgment Day one by one. Becky ends up interrupting. And Becky, I guess, is now a babyface, but...
She is.
It's two babyfaces, and so she cut a promo on Stephanie here, and she actually got booed there at the end. She basically said, you know, I don't know anything about you. You've had some bad luck. But listen, if you wanna go through Liv and get your revenge, I'll cheer, I'll do everything. But when it comes to title matches, that's my domain. You don't deserve that title. Everybody booed. Yeah. And she says, the title belongs to me. It deserves me. And then Stephanie says, if you get my way, I'll show you what I'm all about. So she goes to leave. Liv attacks Becky. Becky makes her own comeback. Steph hits the ring, gets in Becky's face. Another stare down. So it looks like a three-way feud for this title as well. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of those at this point.
Yeah.
LA Knight did a promo backstage, and he says that Roman could say all the boring stuff he wants every week. He set up this tournament. So you know what? I'm going to enter. I'm going to face him. And Kathy goes, it's a luchador tournament. He goes, how convenient. So then Solo shows up. And he says, Royce got beat up last week. Same thing's going to happen to me tonight. And they're going to come after you next. And LA said, listen, SummerSlam was a one-time thing. It was great, but it's over. And Solo goes, it's not you versus Roman. It's you versus the entire bloodline. I know you don't need my help, but at least I tried to warn you. So I presume that he's coming out next week to help out Solo. Had Dragon Lee and Dom. Dom is the mega champion. Mm-hmm. We're 3 weeks away from him defending the title against El Grande, Triple Mania. Mm-hmm. And here he is losing for the third straight week in a row.
Yeah, beaten the world champion of their brand. That really, it's kind of a lack of respect. You know, AEW's done the same thing with Hechicero, but not to this degree. Not to this degree. I mean, losing to Dragon Lee. I figured, though, it's like, this was a match where, you know, no matter what, you know, the finish was going to be like that, because it's like, Dragon Lee's in the tournament, so he obviously shouldn't have lost, which I'm sure was the thing that they're looking at. It's like, well, he's in a tournament right now, and Dom is the champion, so therefore Dom can lose, you know. But Dom's also in the Triple Mania main event, and he's losing to Dragon Lee on TV, but...
You know, it was one thing when he had that Danhausen match and it was just the other guy got a bag. It's like he didn't get pinned or anything, but
yeah,
now he's just getting pinned week after week.
Yeah, but in that match was a clown show, and it's like, that's fine. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, clown shows are part of wrestling. But a world heavyweight champion of a brand should not be in the clown show match. And he was. But, you know, and that was higher profile than this. This is just, you know, and they had a good match. You know, I mean, Dragon Lee's great if they just let you, you know, they don't interfere with him and just let him go out there and do it. He's really, really good. They just don't give him any credibility, although they did here, though.
So he gets beaten, and then after they beat Dom, Big Cass then hits the ring and destroys Dragon Lee.
Yeah.
And then Javon hits the ring, he goes after Big Cass, and Cass kills him as well. I don't like this. Like, I have nothing against Big Cass, but Cass coming out here and just killing young guys every week feels like a WCW thing. Like,
oh, it is. It is. Well, it's like what they're doing with Corbin, too. We got one on each brand.
At least with Corbin, I feel like it's like a short-term thing so that Trick can just get his belt back with a big win or something, or Carmelo can beat him and do a three-way and Trick gets it.
Maybe Javon beats him down the line.
Come on, Dave. What are we talking about here?
Down the line?
Maybe like a year from now.
Down the line.
But like,
probably
I don't think they paid Big Cass's money and brought him back and are just going to start beating him, especially with Javon.
I don't think they should beat him right away. But down the line they're going to beat him. It's not like he's going to be, I don't see him ending up, you know, against Roman Reigns, you know, so those guys, he's going to be a guy, and in the end those guys win and those guys lose. So he'll get beat by people.
We had Sol Ruka doing a promo. And we had our Danhausen spot. He just wanted to be her partner, and she said no. Maybe he cursed her. Maybe that's the problem with this Soul Snatcher gimmick. Hmm. Thought of that. LA Knight's yelling at Adam Pearce, and that's what we talked about this earlier. Then we had Roxanne Raquel versus Sol Ruka and her partner, who was not Becky. Her partner was Io Sky.
Yeah. It turned into a good match, too.
Yeah,
Io Sky's really good.
Io was quite good in this match.
She
always is. There was the Soul Snatcher at the end, which once again looked bad. Although, to be fair,
it didn't look that bad.
It was Roxanne's fault this time.
Yeah, Roxanne was out of position.
She decided to like sit down on it instead of fall face first.
Yeah,
and
it didn't look that bad, but I mean, it did. It was a little bit off. Yeah.
I don't know what Roxanne was doing, though, because you say she was out of position, but, like, she got in position and just stood there for a long time, and then when she got hit with it, she just sat down instead of going. I was like, what was that? Looked bad, got the pin, but the fans did go crazy for it. I mean, they get excited to see it. I guess they don't care about how it ends, but she got the win, and this was a pretty good match.
Yeah, I thought it was a good match.
We had Braun meeting with Paul, and he said, Paul, I got to ask you a question. Do you think Obafemi is the future at WWE? And Paul goes, I got great love for you. I respect Obafemi. He did everything he said he was going to do to Brock. I have to respect that. And Brock said, that's not what I asked. Or Braun said, that's not what I asked. So I'm going to ask again. Do you think he is the future of WWE or not? And Paul says, I think you're starting to think he's the future. That is the problem. He says, I'm going to keep respecting Oba until you show me that he is not worthy of my respect. So Braun says, okay, and he walks off, and Paul has that look on his face like he saved his own life.
Yeah. Braun's cousin, Scott's son, Brock Recksteiner.
Yes.
He may be WWE bound. I expect he will be WWE bound within a couple months.
He's got suspended, didn't he?
Yeah. But I mean, he suspended or not, he was a long shot to make the, I think he's on the Saints, and he's a long shot to make the team. I mean, he wasn't drafted or anything like that. The suspension can't help his odds of making the team at all. He was suspended for 6 games. So when it comes to being cut, he's probably getting cut.
What did he do?
They did not say what he did.
That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, they did not make an announcement, and I don't know what the protocol is because I don't cover the NFL. Usually a first drug test failure would be not 6 weeks. I think it would be, it's smaller. So it's something more severe than that. I mean, it's usually that type of stuff. The 6 weeks is usually like for something bad, but we don't know what it is. But, they didn't announce what it is. He can't play in any games, but he can practice with the team. He can be on the team. But once the season starts, he would have to miss the first 6 games. So like I said, he was probably getting cut under any circumstance. It was a long shot to make the team. The idea of him being able to make, like, yeah, they could put him on the practice squad, and that's possible. But his, you know, again, his future is probably WWE, and he's said as much as well. You know, I think he's given the football a shot. It's the exact same thing that Bronson had, you know, where, you know, he wasn't suspended, obviously, but he was in the Ravens camp, and you know, he was cut. He was a long shot to make it, undrafted. You know, great athlete. I mean, like, it's like his athletic numbers, Bronson's athletic numbers were great. He had, you know, very good speed, great strength, you know, but too short for his position, essentially, for the NFL, which, you know, that's just how they viewed it. And, you know, his cousin is a wide receiver, good looking, good body, you know. But yeah, I mean, I could see him in WWE easily and getting fast tracked just like Bronson.
Ray met with Penta backstage, and he said, that's what I wanted to see in this tournament. And Chad Gable walked up, and he said, he goes, Ray, it's great what you've been doing in AAA. It's amazing. This tournament, he says, is going to go down as one of the coolest things we've seen in a long time.
It's going to come down
like,
as
wow.
It's going to be a tournament, and Roman Reigns is going to beat whoever wins the tournament.
He said it would be an honor to defend my title against the greatest luchador of all time, Rey Mysterio. And Rey said, well, I still got a lot in the tank. I'd be honored. They shook hands. Chad went to go talk to Pierce.
Okay. So how come Rey doesn't have to sign a deal that says he's giving up his job as general manager?
Well, it's different in AAA. The rules are different down there in Mexico, Dave. Okay. Especially in AAA. Chad Gable walked up. Said Penta was awesome tonight. And Ray, he said everything you've been doing for AAA is amazing. Oh, I had to do this one. Lyra runs into Io and Sol backstage, and she says...
Well, so next week, I believe, or at some point, they're doing a Chad Gable Intercontinental title match with Rey Mysterio. They did not announce it for next week, but,
no.
they did announce that... Basically, he said, I'm going to Pierce, so they are doing this match.
Yes. Lyra ran into Io and Sol, and she said, I haven't been able to get back to the women's intercontinental title, Sol. Makes you think you can. Sol goes, what have you done to deserve a shot? And Lyra says, why don't you ask Bayley? What is going on with Bayley, by the way?
The same thing that's going on with Dragunov.
No, I'm talking about, didn't she just tweet something about Wembley?
Did she really?
I think she might have. Somebody messaged me about it.
I certainly haven't. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen that. The only thing I heard from them when it comes to Bayley is that Bayley has a decision to make. So that's the story. Bayley has a decision to make. She has not signed a contract. When she signs a contract, I'm sure she'll be back on TV. If she doesn't sign, I think they're doing the same thing with that Tony does. You know, it's like if or has done. He doesn't always do it. And they don't always do it. But I think the situation with her is, you know, if she signs a contract, she'll probably come back and attack Lyra. And that'll be her storyline. And if she doesn't sign, then she doesn't come back. And that's the Madison Square Garden thing was her write-off.
Okay. Thank this person here in the chat. She just posted a video today. And the song in the video is titled All In.
Interesting. I don't think that she's going to be a free agent by All In.
I don't think she may be just messing with people too. Don't report this, everybody, because I don't know this for sure. But I was given the impression that her deal is not up to like January. Like it's a while.
I
certainly
don't know,
not by All In.
I don't know the date, but I don't think it's. I don't. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the date. I should know it, but maybe I'll just see if I can find it out.
So then Lyra said, be wary of, if you get my way of trying to get the title back, you'll regret it. So anyway, Lyra wants her title back, and so does Sol. All right.
Lyra hasn't done anything, by the way.
No, she really hasn't done much to get that, except beat up Bayley, I guess.
Yeah, but nothing since.
No. And then we had the Jay versus Solo match, which, I mean, it was just there.
12-minute main event, and not that interesting of a match.
Solo is at least adding some babyface spots, like he's doing some Rikishi spots before the running hip attack, and crowd got into him there at the end a little bit, and then at the end, Jimmy shows up, distracts Solo, Jay hits a spear, but Solo kicked out. Jimmy tries to interfere again, Solo gives him the spike, Jay hits another spear, hits a splash, gets the pin, so next week he will deliver Solo to Roman, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. Can't say I'm super into this storyline, but that's what they're doing. Yeah. It just feels like nothing is happening right now. As we just slowly build to a Saturday night's main event way down the road.
It's only a couple weeks down the road, Saturday night's main event.
I think it's 4 weeks from now still.
It's 4 weeks from yesterday, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, so you're right. We got quite a ways to go.
Yeah, but they haven't even announced any matches or anything, so.
Nothing.
Yeah.
All right, tomorrow, actually, first off, we'll do tonight. It's NXT, and the lineup for the show has Grayson Waller, Cruz Montana, number one contenders match for the NXT title, Zari and Ren Sinclair for the North American title, Nico and Izzy Dame versus Sean Spears and Lizzie Raine, and Dion Lennox versus Saquon. I don't think they've added anything new for Dynamite yet. We've got Jay White and David Finley, Continental Cup, if Jay White is there, I guess. John Moxley and Jack Perry, Continental Cup. Kevin Knight versus Jericho for the TNT title. And the MJF, Mike Bailey, Nick Wayne match for the number two spot in the Casino Gauntlet. And they also announced for Raw next week, Rey Fénix and El Fiscal in the Roman Reigns, the Lose to Roman Reigns tournament, and also Dragon Lee versus Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. And Roman Reigns will be there as well. Mm-hmm. So that is the lineup for that. Let's do a quick look and see if there's anything in the mailbag. Mailbag at WrestlingObserver.com. This person here says, what do you make of the stipulation for the Leon Slater-Cedric Alexander X Division title match, where if Leon Slater...
That's stupid stipulation.
...loses his title, his reign is erased from the TNA record books.
Yeah.
The question is basically, do you think there is legitimate concern he could leave for AEW when his contract is up?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there is, but...
But I don't think they're erasing him from the record books.
It's the stupidest stipulation since Jeff Jarrett and Kurt Angle, did the match for custody of the kids. So it's just a terrible stipulation.
All right. Has WWE or TKO ever tried to purchase The Observer? No.
No.
They have not.
No. No, they have. No.
Oh my God.
We got a better one than that?
No, I'm trying to see if there's anything good here. A lot of these are pretty old. Let me go somewhere else here. A couple of questions. Let's see. Where are all the questions here? Let's see. Bunch of stupid ones here. No, not going to ask that one. What do you do with Paul Heyman now? No Brock. Burned with Seth, Punk, Roman, The Vision.
I'm sure. Well, I think that they're. I think I would not be surprised to see Bron Breakker and Paul back together as an act. I think all of this is. When I watch the thing tonight, I think that's leading to that.
So maybe Bron wins the first match with help from Paul.
Man, I don't know if I'd do that, but. I suppose it's possible, but I just think that it's going to be, somehow they're going to hook them back up together once they're ready to go with Braun as a top heel singles guy, which they're going to have to do. They can't keep pushing, the same people. He needs some focus on him right now. maybe not right now. I think that they're doing a storyline to get him there, obviously. So I think that they end up together.
All right, here's some good ones here. This person says, what did you mean by Bailey's situation is the same as Elia's? Is his deal coming up?
No, I mean just that they're not on TV. That they've disappeared off the roster and neither of them is injured.
Yeah, what happened with Elia?
He disappeared off the roster and he's not injured.
I know,
injured.
But why? What happened?
Either creative has no ideas for him or there's another reason, which I don't know.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
This person here says, could the reason for no WWE PLE in September be because they planned to do another WrestlePalooza and decided to pull it because last year's didn't go so well?
No. No, no, no. Just the way the schedule works out. They were going to do September 6th. That was the schedule. And then for whatever reason, they moved it to October the 10th and moved the Saturday night's main event to that Sunday. But yes, September 6th was originally a pay-per-view date. So that's the deal.
And they just decided...
Yeah, September 6th and October 10th, and then just decided that they wanted to move the New Orleans. It probably had something to do with New Orleans. I remember I asked them about the date being changed, and I never really got a good answer as to why. Some like logistical thing that made no sense at all. So yeah, there's no real reason. It's just that they originally September 6th was it, and then you know they moved it to October 10th, and so yeah, we got a big gap. And the other thing, too, is so we got the October 10th, and then there might be something late October. We got Survivor Series, and then probably Survivor Series till Rumble, which is like 2 months. Because late November until first week of February, unless they add a pay-per-view in, you know, at some point in there, which they may do. I mean, Nick Khan's idea was to do a pay-per-view every January 1st, which I think they gave up after...
They gave up after the first year.
Yeah, they gave up really quick on that idea. Yeah. Yeah, he thought the...
It was like they suddenly figured out that the first falls on a different day every year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is like, it used to be a really big night for pro wrestling, but, you know, it's and there's not as many football games. I think there's like one college football game, but I don't know if it has necessarily as much ramifications as it did in the past. But whatever reason, I mean, they were gonna do it, and I think that they had one in Atlanta and it wasn't selling well, and they just kind of thought, well, maybe it's not a great idea.
All right, one more here. This person says, are WWE still looking at rating CMLL?
They haven't done that at all. So, you know, I mean, if they were, if they wanted to raid CMLL, their guys would go because it's just more money. I think the deal is that I think that they don't want a lot of Mexicans under contract. Because if you look at AAA, it's like they really use a lot of guys that are WWE guys, and they're not. It's not like they're developing like, well, Vikingo, I guess, Mini Vikingo, but there are only the point is that roster that AAA uses is a very small number of people, so it's not like they have a whole bunch of spots right now. I mean, as far as down the line, do I think that they will make an offer for some of those guys, given that they're at war with them? Yeah. But I think they have to figure out how to use them. I don't think they want to spend money to bring somebody in and not have any spot for them. So I think that that's the problem, is that they don't really have... They with that 1 hour of AAA television every week, they're focusing on a much smaller number of people than the old AAA was focusing on.
All right, everybody. On that note, we're going to wrap it up for today. Dave and I were up last night as well. Dave and Garrett were up on Friday, and a bunch of shows went up this weekend. The New Observer is up on the front page, and a new one coming out on Friday. We'll be back on Wednesday. AWNXT and all the news. And that's it. We'll talk to you again after a while.